we're talking about good news. And so we're kicking off our Galatians series, and what's really interesting is it picks up exactly where we left off before Christmas with our Fear Not series. And the last sermon that I did in December was the shepherds and wondering where they stood with God. Because of the nature of their job, they couldn't get to temple, they couldn't do the ritual cleanings, they were considered unclean according to Jewish Mosaic law. And so they felt ostracized from God, they felt ostracized from people, and really in this place of, I will never be good enough, I will never be clean enough, I will never do the right thing, I will always be distant from God. And then the coolest thing happened, an angel. A herald angel announcing the birth of Christ shows up and says these words. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And the shepherds are ecstatic because a Savior has been born. That Savior was had come to save them from their sins so they could actually have access to God. And the one part of this line which was so cool, it says it's for all people, not just the Jewish people, not just the people who followed the law and kept all the ritual washings and the food laws and had practiced circumcision. It was for everyone. Everyone. It was so inclusive. And so the shepherds got excited. They went, they checked out the news, met Jesus, and were changed. Because it says they went and they proclaimed the good news to everyone they met. And I just love the fact that they went, they checked it out. It's true. It's true. They were radically changed on the inside, told everyone that the Savior had been born. And so that's where we left it at Christmas. And then we rejoiced and ate cake and pie. And so here we are in January. And some time has passed. And the problem with time passing on a story is things get added to stories. Because all of a sudden the story really isn't good enough. We like to embellish things. What happens in Galatians? Well, let's just find out. We're going to jump right in. I don't want to give it away. Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia, which was an area between Israel and Syria and Rome. There was lots of roads that went through, so it was a very important piece of land. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is an apostle. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. This Galatians is in the go eat popcorn section of the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go eat popcorn. See? I didn't make that up. I got it from a friend of mine. Some of you are still trying to figure out what I just said. Go eat popcorn. G-E-P-C. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Got it? Go eat popcorn. Anyways, so now you're going to be like wanting to eat popcorn every time you read this section. Anyways, and Galatians is thought to be one of the first books letters that Paul ever wrote. And so in his normal style, he has this announcement, this greeting, "Hi, everyone," and he says some nice things. And usually in most of his letters, he addresses something that needs to be addressed, because as an overseer of churches, that's what he does. He says what's going on, which is good, and what needs some attention. And so in this first part, he announces what the gospel is. And that's what Lynn read this morning. She read from verse 3, "Grace and peace to you." So grace is unmerited favor, not that we should earn it at all. So grace is getting something we do not deserve. So grace and peace. We talked about peace last week, that idea of wholeness and everything in place. Wholeness. So unmerited favor and wholeness, if you want to read it, to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. So here Paul is giving you what the gospel message is. Jesus Christ came from the will of the Father because he loves us. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever, there's that all-inclusive word again, whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that's what this passage is saying. Paul is declaring what the gospel message is, the good news. The good news is that Jesus came to pay the price for our sins. Sin separates us from God. Sin is choosing our way over God's way. And the two do not go together. The two cannot go together. Sin is here, God is here, and we are told and believe that God is a holy God and cannot be in contact with sin. So in order for us to be with God, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, there needed to be a payment, and that's Jesus Christ coming and paying the price for our sins so that we could be made right with God. And the gospel message basically is we have to receive that. We have to receive that. We have to believe that that's true, that we really are sinners, and nothing on our own can make us connect with God. Only God can help us connect with God, because of the state in which we find ourselves. So that's the gospel message. And that's what the shepherds heard on that night outside of Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. So Paul starts off saying what the good news is. And it's for everyone because God loves you. So then the question is, well, then what's the problem? So that comes into this next part. All right, it says, I am astonished, or if you're into King James, that's a different version of the Bible. I love the word that the translator used. It says, who has bewitched you, right? Like, who has overcome you to make you think anything different? So I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in grace, in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of humans? Of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So what's at stake here is this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? Because Paul very clearly stated it was an act of God to send Jesus to pay the price for our sins so we could be reconciled with him. Period. But there was a group of teachers that were coming in to Galatia preaching a comma at the end of the sentence. And what you have to realize is that Christianity started in Judea with Jewish people. And Jewish people had been raised with the Mosaic law that if you're in your Bible, you flip back. It starts about the middle of Exodus and goes to about Deuteronomy. There's a whole lot of laws in there, about 600 laws. And so they had been raised with these laws, and they felt that you needed to worship God with these laws. Now, Paul came along and said, Christ came to fulfill the law. You no longer need to do these ritual washings or the dietary laws or circumcision in order to be saved. You just need Jesus. But the Jewish Christians were saying, no, 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 no. You need Jesus and the laws. You need Jesus and the washings. You need Jesus and circumcision. And so Paul is so upset because if that is the truth, then there's no gospel at all. Because the gospel is Jesus only, period. No comma. And so you have I want you to imagine a court scene. And it's interesting, as I was thinking of all the court scene dramas in my life, I was thinking of Matlock, Moonlighting. I know, I just totally dated myself. Because anyone like 35 and under probably has never seen Moonlighting. But that's where, like, Bruce Willis actually made his big, like, splash was in Moonlighting. I'm just letting you know. Not that it's worth going back and watching. I'm just saying that was my introduction to courtroom drama was Moonlighting. So I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine a courtroom and Paul on one side. So Paul the Apostle, who's written, now at this point, this is his first letter. All right. So he's not like the big Paul that we think he is right now. He's a one-letter Paul. And then you have the Judaizers. All right. So these are the Jewish believers. Now, what's very interesting is both of them are Jewish. Both of them are Jewish. Next, they're also both Christian. So far, everybody is the same. But this is where it changes. Paul believes in grace alone, period. There's a focus on Jesus only. Only what Jesus did on the cross, paying the price for our sins, that's it, period. And it's based then on equality. Everybody is equal. Doesn't matter what one person does. Doesn't matter, you know, how many times you wash or if you're circumcised or if you're keeping the dietary laws. No, doesn't matter. Everybody is equal. Whereas the Judaizers were focused on grace plus works. You're saved with Jesus, but you have to keep the dietary laws. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep up with the washings. And Paul was like, no, because then you become your own savior. And it creates exclusivity and judgment. And you start looking down your nose at people. Well, they don't wash. So they're not saved. They're not circumcised, so they're not saved. Oh, they haven't given as much as me, so they're not saved. They're not as good as I am. Do you see what the difference is? You have one man who says, grace alone, God alone, Jesus alone, period. That's it. And then you have a group of people who are like, no, Jesus plus all of these other things. And that's why Paul is getting so upset. He's like, if you truly believe that, that is not gospel. That's not good news at all. It actually brings fear and judgment and condemnation and all sorts of division within the body. And that's not why Christ came. Christ came to extend his love and his grace to every single person. There is no good works. There is nothing you can do to make yourself good enough to get to God. It's by grace alone. It's Jesus alone. And so he goes to the mat on this. And what's really interesting is because if you've been in the church or you've read the Bible, we think of Paul as, wow, Paul the Apostle, he wrote most of the New Testament. The Judaizers are like, Paul, who? He's only a one-letter man at this point. One letter. So really, all they know about Paul is what they've heard. And so the question goes like this, well, why should we believe Paul? That's what they're asking, is why should we believe you? And that's why it starts off at the very beginning of the letter. Paul says, an apostle called by Christ. So let's read of what Paul says in Galatians here. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Cephas is Peter. Peter is the man who denied Christ three times and then was reconciled with Christ when he rose again. Just in case you're wondering who Cephas might be. And stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. When I went to Syria and Sicilia, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. So Paul's defending himself, why they should be listening to him. And first and foremost, the reason why we should listen to Paul is this. Number one, Jesus revealed himself to Paul. If you go into Acts, in chapter 9, there is what some people have called the Damascus Road experience. And you'll often hear that in various writings or trying to explain something really cool that happened, a change of life. So Jesus literally appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus while Paul was he had gotten a letter from the Jewish leaders to say, yes, you go to Damascus and you find those Christians and you deal with them. Because they were so afraid that the Christians were going to decimate the Jewish faith. And Paul was adamant that that would never happen. His zeal for God was of such that he wasn't going to let anyone take it down. And so on the road to Damascus, he is intently going to destroy the Christians. And he met Jesus. There's something about meeting Jesus that radically changes your life. It changed the shepherds, and it changed Paul. Because as you continue to read the story, it says, Jesus says to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? I'm actually going to call you to reach the Gentiles, people who don't know me yet. That's what I want you to do. And what's really interesting is at that point, Paul is struck blind, and for 3 days, he eats and drinks nothing. And this is what I'm guessing is going on in his mind. I know Jesus is real. I've just met him. I need you to change the way I think. I need you to change the way I think. Jesus, you come. You change the way I think. Because it says he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he just spent time with God. Because remember, he knew who God was, but he hadn't met Jesus. Jesus had died and was resurrected, but Jesus met him and called him. So Paul has every right to say, Jesus revealed his message to me. We have that. We have witnesses. It is, if you read that passage, it says that the people around knew that something was happening. We're told that Ananias was told by God to go and lay his hands on Paul and pray. And so the story is backed up. We know that Paul was radically changed by Jesus. To the point of, and this is what the rest of that passage said, we only heard that though that man who was once persecuting us is now for us. When we truly meet Jesus, we see really that he is all that we need, and we are radically changed. Secondly, he was received by the apostles. He didn't go to get approved by the apostles. He was received by them. So that tells me that his revelation was real. And thirdly, his changed life, those 3 days of blindness, that appearance of Jesus to him, that conversation changed his life, that he became as zealous as he was for Judaism, he became just as zealous for Christianity, proclaiming the truth. Jesus is all you need. And so he's passionate about what's going on in Galatia because they are trying to mess things up. They're trying to put all sorts of, I want to say, pluses, commas, after the gospel message of grace alone. Grace alone. God creating you, desiring to have a relationship with us, but seeing that sin separates us, sends his son to bridge that gap so that we can have this amazing and awesome relationship. Only that gospel, the true gospel, can change a life. Timothy Keller says this: there is only one gospel, and it is found through faith in Jesus Christ. Everything else, as Paul says, is really no gospel at all. Our natural inclination as human beings trends towards works. We drift toward the lie that says we must play an active role in achieving and maintaining our salvation. The truth is that only faith in Christ can ensure our righteousness before God. By believing in Christ, God counts the life, death, and resurrection of his Son as our own. That's verse 7 of Galatians 1. That is our hope in this life and the next. Now, I'm going to move on to a video in the next, but I want you to hear what that passage is saying from Timothy Keller. We get so caught up in saving ourselves. If I give more, if I serve more, if I pray more, that's not it. It's Jesus alone. And it is several times this week, I'm going to confess, I grew up thinking in my mind, Jesus will love me more if. Jesus will love me more if I pray. Jesus will love me more if I read my Bible. God will answer my prayers more if I pray more. God will answer my prayers more if I do more. And this week, because I struggled with this passage, I'm like, yeah, but what about all the good things we're supposed to do? The good things we're supposed to do is not reflective on our salvation. It's not what saves us. They're a result of salvation. Wow, God, you have done so much for me. I want to love you more. And we love God by obeying him. That's where the good works come in. And that's why it says everyone should give what they have decided in their heart to give, not because they have to, but because they want to. We do it out of wowness for what God has done for us. And this week, every time I went, somebody would do something and I'd be like, ah, and I'd judge, bad Jen. And every time, it is by grace alone that you have been saved, not by works, so anyone should boast. Every time. Wow, is that freeing. It's freeing that I have been saved by grace alone, not by my works, because my works are just not going to get me anywhere. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is faith in Christ alone. So I've said that now a couple of times, but I thought I would pull up a video of a man named Propaganda. He's an artist, and he says it just a little bit differently, but maybe it'll ring true. I shared this story before. When I first started working here, Pastor Henry was our interim pastor, and I've probably learned the most about grace from Henry. And I remember, I think I was upset one day, and not that we went at it, but I might have had a different sort of opinion, and Henry had a different sort of opinion, and we had a discussion. Anyways, I remember it ended in such a way that I left the room going, I don't have to agree with everything that Henry says. He's still going to love me. And that's what grace is. It's not about works. It's about relationship. That's what the gospel message is. It's not about works. It's Jesus only, because he loves us. And we're the ones that comes up with the list. I have to do this. 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 If I don't do this, then God isn't going to love me. Hebrews 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, believing that Jesus loves us, died on the cross for our sins so that we could be set free. And that's everyone. No list. Jesus only, grace only, period. And so when we look at this passage from the beginning of Galatians, we realize God offers us this grace. And with it comes this wonderful peace, because we really do need to be rescued. And He does it because it is God's will that all people be saved, because He loves us. And so part of, you know, what our response is today is asking this question. It goes like this. Can you handle the truth? That's probably one of my favorite courtroom scenes, right? Where Tom Cruise says to Jack Nicholson, "I deserve the truth." And Jack says, "You can't handle the truth." It's a great line. But that's the question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Can we handle the truth of the gospel? But we're not actually responsible for it. We just need to receive it. It's already there. And I have been receiving it this week. And wow, it feels good to receive the period and not the comma. But the question is, can you handle the truth? Are you willing to let go of judgment? Oh, well, they don't do this, and they don't do this, and they don't do this. It's not about that. Are you willing to let go of self-satisfaction? You know, I'm a list person. I make lists. I love checking it off. And at the end of the day, I'm like, yes. Like finishing my laundry last night, putting that last piece of clothing in, I was like, yes, my day is complete. My day would have been complete whether or not my laundry was done or not. But I'm a list person. So am I willing to actually surrender my list of Christian to-dos to actually receive the fullness of salvation? Am I willing to let go of that control that says, no, I can control what my relationship with God looks like? Because when you rely on somebody else to get you there, that's hard. I struggle when other people drive. I'm like, they're not going the way I do. They're not going fast enough. Why aren't they passing this person? Why can't they just let me drive? It's hard. Henry, you're a good driver. Okay, here's my confession. So if I ever had to hire a driver, it would be Mike Jensen, because he thinks similarly as I do when we drive. And I'm like, I'd be at complete peace. So Mike Jensen, props to you. Yeah, if I ever had to hire a driver, Mike Jensen. And I wouldn't get all my knickers in a knot. Anyways, that being said, it is hard to give up control. It is hard to hand our salvation to Jesus. Say, God, you look after it. It is hard because we fear giving up control. And then fear, and it's funny, people might say, why would I want to give up fear? Well, to give up fear, you have to give up control and self-satisfaction and just receive Jesus only, period. Period. And so I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've never accepted the Jesus only period. God's grace. God loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins because we needed to be rescued. Maybe you've never even thought about that this morning. And so today you're thinking, I need to be rescued. I need to know about Jesus. And the best thing is, it says, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Period. Or maybe you need, like me, you need to do some repenting of where you've added a comma instead of a period. Where you have added on the list of to-dos, and as a result, you are in this constant fear of, am I good enough? So if that's you today, then you do have some repenting to do. And you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. And here I am this week repenting of the period. And I say that to encourage you, because I don't want to live in fear anymore. I don't want to live with the list of to-dos. I want to live in faith. I want to live in confidence of knowing that Jesus Christ is all that I need. I don't want to judge other people. I don't want disunity separating us because I might think, well, I'm better than someone else because of my list. That's not right either, because that causes separation. So there's something here for everyone to respond to. The question is, how do you do it? Well, you can come to the prayer rail and you can pray and talk to God and just say, God, this is what's on my heart this morning. Lori and Jack are at the back, so after service, if you want to pray with someone, they're at the back. They would love to pray with you. And as you come forward, if something is on your heart, whether it has nothing to do with the service, maybe you just need to come up because you have other stuff you want to talk to God about, but you feel you need to come up, then you come. And church family, part of your job is to pray with them. You come up, you lay your hand on them, pray along. Or maybe you stay in your seat and you just get your stuff right with God. But I have learned that there needs to be a response. Church isn't just about coming, listening, and leaving. It's about a response. How am I going to respond to what I heard today? I can't make it up for you, but I will pray. And I'll pray that you will respond as God would have you to respond. So, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that it is by grace we have been saved through faith, so that not by works, that none should boast. There is freedom in that, Lord, the giving up of control, the getting rid of fear, getting rid of that list of I have to do these things to make myself worthy. And it is you and you alone that makes us worthy. Lord, I'm asking for myself a deeper understanding of that truth this morning. I know I can't handle the fullness of it, but I do know that with your help, you're gonna teach me more and more about it every day. It is your goodwill that Christ came to rescue us because you love us and you want to be in relationship with us. And so, Lord, help us to absorb that truth today. Help us to walk in that truth today and help us not to add anything to it. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to our hearts and help us to respond in the way that you would want us to respond, so that we can experience the fullness of your truth. And we ask this in your name. Amen.